So many people today are like, but I'm just being my authentic self, right? And it's like, deal with it. Okay, but that's not very strategic, is it? All right, you can be your authentic self, but you also, your authentic self, especially if you're within an organization, still has to align somehow with the organization, with the organization's goals, with their values, with their persona. And you can be unique and you can whatever, but you still have to align, right? And so when we're thinking about authenticity, it's mostly about our strengths, our values, and what we want to portray to other people.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to this edition of the John Papaloni Show. Today we have Alexa Chilcutt. Alexa, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. I'm happy to be here.
Absolute pleasure. Why don't we get into the episode with my famous beginning, which is who you are, what you do, and how you got there.
All right. So I am Dr. Alexa Chilcutt. I am an executive coach, but I'm primarily an executive education faculty member and provider. So I create development training courses around all kind of communication topics. How did I get here? My professional background was actually advertising and public relations, which means that I'm an incredibly applied, practical person, and I love working with professionals to really kind of help them to put themselves in the best light and to equip them with communication skills that are going to be to their advantage.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, how did was this something you were always interested in? Like, I mean, you start off with advertising, or and to be honest, so did I. I come from that background as well, and kind of sort of geared to different aspects of my life where I am today. But yeah, I always found that that aspect fascinating. And obviously, if we're progressing as we get older, because if we don't progress, we're just dying. I don't believe, like, we get this idea growing up that we choose a career, we choose something, and that's who we are, and that's till the day we retire. And I don't think that's true, because I think in life you're always growing or dying. And if you know, and I always choose to grow, which means you're going to progress and change who you are. And you're excited, like what you're excited about, what you're interested in changes that way as well. So how does what you do today differ from growing up? Like, what did you like, where were you heading towards, and how did that curve and pivot, and what were the key components and signs that you saw that made you go that direction?
You know, I mean, I'm with you. I never chose a direction and decided that's what I was doing. It was all this kind of unwinding. And I think for so many professionals, it is you take advantage of the thing that's in front of you, right? And you do the best you can. And then you expand your skill set, you expand your connections, your network. And if you're good, I think that there are constant opportunities that kind of come across your path. And it's always just this process of, okay, where am I now, but where do I want to be? And how do I position myself to take advantage of the next thing? So that's really what happened to me. I mean, I never thought that I would go into academia, which I did kind of, the opportunity presented itself and I took advantage of that opportunity. But, you know, then I really always had that eye set for practical professionals and helping them to be equipped. And so I was never really a pure academic. I was always working in executive education and continuing studies. And then about 3 years ago, I pivoted back to focusing solely on professionals.
Right, absolutely. Now, how did you decide to get into, like, how did you choose that niche, right? Like, I mean, because there's so many opportunities available. And I find a lot of times when people get into career, they want to do everything for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's usually the wrong way to do things, but it's always that fear factor, right? Like, what if this person needs this? And what if that person needs, I could be missing out. And usually fear controls it. And it sounds like you were able to tackle that fear and get past it and had a very focused, outlook.
Well, you know, I mean, once again, I think it's one of those you're constantly having as a professional to think about, I could be all of these things, right? And then you have to focus in on what's going to be the most advantageous, but also the thing that gives me the most energy, right? And what gives me the most energy, and what I really figured out about 3 or 4 years ago in that next phase of my professional life was, I love working with professionals. That gives me energy. I love having people in a room or in a coaching session that they know that there's a gap that they need to fill, and I am uniquely qualified for helping to kind of empower them to do that. That gives me energy. And so focusing on that niche area, right, rather than, as you said, trying to be all things to all people, which I think it's also a risk. You take a risk to focus on one thing, or to at least decide what is going to be the, you know, I mean, I feel like there's also this concept of resistance or lack of resistance. And so when you start doing something and there is that momentum that's created, then I think it reinforces that that's a good fit for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. Momentum is huge. Let's be honest, right? Because it's one of those things that with momentum is the difference between having momentum and not having it is really whether you're consistently fighting for each day or whether things are sort of flowing. And if you have a great product, usually momentum builds with that product, usually, if at least, you know, if you're getting the message out there accurately. And with that momentum, it builds in. I don't want to say it becomes easy. I don't want to use the word loosely, but it becomes a little bit more natural. So that's you got a good point there. Now, when someone's working with you, let's get into what's the process like. How does it begin? And like let's go through how it begins, what it's like during the process, and is there an end point, and what's the end goal, or is it something that's continuous?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think working with, as I said, I do kind of executive education largely as a faculty member for Johns Hopkins Carey Business School, and love working with groups and a variety of people, but also in kind of that coaching professionals. And generally what I focus on is those mid-level or those high potential individuals who've been identified. They know that their trajectory is to move up in leadership, but maybe they're battling imposter syndrome. That's a real thing, right? Maybe they are understanding that the perceptions of them within the organization are at that mid-level or that managerial level, but they know they need to elevate how they're perceived. They need to elevate their leadership style, but they don't know how to do that. And then also around communication, you know, around public speaking and presentations, those are key opportunities to be seen as someone with executive presence, to be seen as someone who is an authority within a, you know, a field. And so teaching and working with people to be able to be confident communicators. So what is that practice? What does that process look like? It is somebody kind of reaching out, saying that they know that there's a gap they want to fill. There are some skills that they want to build, and taking a good assessment at where are they and where do they want to go? What are those goals? And it's all based one-on-one. So do you want to have kind of 3 months of intensive, just focusing on what your goals are and how do we get there and working on those? Do you want to do something a little longer that's every other week? And I really enjoy working with someone on a weekly, every other week basis so that you keep that momentum going, right? But then any good consultant or any good coach is not someone who should be doing it forever, right? I don't believe that. I believe it is, hey, where are you? How can I empower you and equip you? And of course, if I need to be a resource later on, sure. But making a plan, kind of making a plan and finding those goals and accomplishing them.
Love that. Now, I want to touch upon the whole imposter syndrome part here, is that you're right. That's something I've seen a lot as well. And I'm curious to know, like, what creates this? Like, why does it exist? And why do we have such self-doubt here?
Oh, man. I would love to meet somebody who doesn't contend with imposter syndrome. I mean, and it's men and women both that I've worked with all have this. And a lot of it is, okay, I have my own insecurities. People see me as one, you know, they see me as confident. They see me in a role. And it's really a lot of self-talk. You know, you've been invited into this space for a reason. You've been given this role for a reason. Someone has confidence in you, right? You've been invited to be a part of this meeting for a reason. And it's really recognizing that, first of all, everyone has imposter syndrome. So just kind of demystifying that it's not just you and your own personal insecurities, that it's normal. And so once you normalize it, then we can go, okay, so what are the steps of getting beyond this? It's recognizing your strengths. Okay, what are my strengths? What do I really bring to the table? What can I feel good about? What are the areas that I need to work on as far as confidence? Sometimes it's as simple as nonverbal communication. right? How do I walk in the room and look confident? And we can struggle with, is that being inauthentic to kind of put on confidence, right? But it's one of those, don't fake it till you make it, fake it till you become it. How do you adopt behaviors that allow you to feel more confident and project that confidence? And it's also being able to have kind of this awareness of yourself and your strengths and to advocate for yourself. So imposter syndrome, why do we feel it? Because everybody is in their own head. That's why we feel it.
Makes sense. Yeah. Now, again, is there ever a point where we get past it? Or is that sort of something that's always there, but really controlled?
Is there a point where we get past that? I would love to say yes. I would love to say yes, but the reality is probably no. I mean, I think we get better at the self-talk. But you think about this, John. Every new venture that you take on, every new opportunity that you have, when you walk into that new space, when you launch that new product, when you do that new thing, take that risk, aren't you kind of in that space of, am I supposed to be here? Do I know what I'm doing? Is this a good idea? And that, I think that's just the normal process. And so recognizing that, the getting beyond it is just the ability to recognize it for what it is and continue to move forward. That's the art of kind of getting over it.
Love that. Throughout your process here and stuff, there's always a group of people that we can't help and a group of people that we can, you know, help quite a bit. What would you, like, through everything, what was your biggest struggle? Like, can you think of a time that you had a hurdle and I don't want to say didn't know how to get past it or found it challenging to get past, and how did you handle it?
With working with someone? Is that what you're asking?
Yes. Yeah. Because I mean, we all have it. Everyone has different personalities, right? And let's be honest, not everyone's coachable. Sometimes we say we're coachable. We all believe we are. But then when it comes down to the process, we find out how not coachable we are.
Yes, I have had those experiences. Not many. First of all, the biggest thing is that the resistance generally is when someone else puts an individual in coaching. So it wasn't them opting up for it, right? It was a manager or someone saying, this is what you need. And I'm actually pretty good at working with those people and going, okay, I'm here for you. I'm not here for the manager, the leader who put you here. I'm here to help you. And generally they kind of get in the gist of it and all of that. But people that have a harder time, you know, honestly, I haven't found too many of them, really. I think once you have someone that comes alongside you, instead of trying to be prescriptive about things to do, but really kind of working with you, okay, where can we move to progress? Then there's always kind of progress to be had, I think. And honestly, the only people that can't really be coached are those individuals with a low degree of emotional intelligence.
Interesting.
Right? They're not self-aware. You know, they're not self-aware. They're not really intrinsically motivated. They don't have a lot of great social skills. So that self-awareness and self-regulation with emotional intelligence, you can have brilliant people, right? High IQ. But if they have no emotional intelligence, you're not getting real far.
Got a point there. That's very interesting. I tend to agree with you on that. It's, again, some things I believe everything can be taught if you're willing to be, you know, taught.
Sure.
But if you have your doors closed and you're just not interested in listening, then there's nothing anybody can do for you.
That's right.
You have to be willing to help yourself first.
Yeah. And that's where that motivation comes from.
Yeah, exactly. My next question is going to be the polar opposite of what I just asked, which is going to be, what would you say was your biggest success point? Like that moment, I call it an aha moment. And sometimes we have many of them where it's almost like the doubts that you came in subsided. Because you saw this huge success and you're going, okay, I can do this. This is great. This is maybe it's not exactly the path I thought I was going to, that it was going to take, but I'm in the right spot. I'm in my zone. This is it. What was that moment for you? That first one?
Oh my gosh. I can't even remember the first one, right? I mean, because to your point, I think the more that we as professionals grow and adjust and move into different roles and all of that, hopefully those little wins create that kind of risk tolerance, number one, that confidence, they build confidence. And, you continue to be reinforced by that. And so you just keep going, right? You stretch a little farther and farther. And that's always kind of been my process. So one of the greatest pieces of advice I ever had from somebody was someone asked you to do something, right? You get a phone call and they say, "Hey, John, we want you to come speak at this, or we want you to do that." And it's something you'd really love to do. Maybe you have never done it before. Maybe you have no idea exactly how you'll do it, but you say yes, right? You say yes, because then that forces you to have to figure it out. And the piece of advice I got was someone who is incredibly successful, who really started out kind of in a very blue collar role. And that individual worked themselves up all through their life to great success. And he said, "I always said yes, and then figured out how to make it happen," right? And so when you kind of embrace that, "I'm just going to say yes, I'm going to show up, I'm going to make it happen," you do have to have a certain level of ability and confidence. But when you do that and you have those wins because you've made it happen, it just builds your confidence. It builds that ability to kind of try new things. So, you know, I've had many of those opportunities where I'm like, "Wow, this is it," right? I get energy from the thing. I feel like I'm in the flow. I get positive responses from people, positive work outcomes. But that's all you can ever hope to do. But you've got to keep putting yourself out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that. Now, ironically, I had the same piece of advice when I began my journey.
Okay.
I mean, mine was revolving around sales. Somebody always said, if a customer asks you for something, and if you can do it, the answer should be, yes, you can. And then bust your butt to figure out how exactly you're going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's incredible that it's like we lived in two different worlds and really got the same advice. So it's kind of universal.
Yeah. Well, and it also, I think, you know, so many people worry about kind of younger generations and resilience, right? This topic around resilience. But I think if you kind of grow up or you get that advice to, you know, be bold, say yes, figure it out, be a problem solver, learn new things, make yourself learn new things. It builds that resilience as a professional. Not that you're not going to fail sometimes, but even if you fail, you learn something. And hopefully you learn how to take that information into the next thing that you do. So I love the idea of just be brave enough, even if you have that imposter syndrome, "Why am I doing this?" to say yes.
Yeah, I agree. Now, I want to touch upon the authenticity part here, because let's be honest, in 2024, the word authentic or be authentic is really a buzz term.
Sure.
I think the meaning has, you know, validity in it, but not necessarily the way people use it. And I think in a way, you know, it goes, I like what you said about, you know, don't fake it till you make it. Fake it till you become it, or whatever, right? Like, but what I'm going to touch upon here is that what's the meaning, you know, in your eyes, what's the meaning of being truly authentic, right? Because if you're faking it till you're making it, I don't think you're being authentic, which is why I liked how you changed it, right? So
yeah,
let's dig deep into that, into the meaning of that.
Well, you know, okay, so authentic. I think the biggest thing about authenticity is that you are still, you're envisioning, let's say for professional growth and development, right? Being authentic. And you're thinking about my next, you know, what does my best self look like, right? For maybe elevating yourself as a leader. What you need to do to be authentic is thinking about your strengths, your values, and, you know, what's really important to you. If that persona or, you know, what you are creating is a reflection still of what's important to you, your values, then that is authentic. You can elevate yourself, but, and yes, you try on new skills, you adopt behaviors that are not necessarily natural to you, but we're always learning and growing. But are you staying true to your values? Okay, so I think this is what you're thinking. The rub about authenticity. So many people today are like, "But I'm just being my authentic self," right? And it's like, deal with it. Okay, but that's not very strategic, is it? All right, you can be your authentic self, But you also, your authentic self, especially if you're within an organization, still has to align somehow with the organization, with the organization's goals, with their values, with their persona. And you can be unique and you can whatever, but you still have to align, right? And so when we're thinking about authenticity, it's mostly about our strengths, our values, and what we want to portray to other people. It doesn't mean that we can't adopt new behaviors or new skill sets or stretch a little bit.
Right, right, right. Which I want to add to that. If you're evaluating your, if you're in a company and you're evaluating their values and your values and they don't align, and I think rather than trying to adjust, that's a cue that you don't belong there. And maybe the move should be to move on, you know, and move on graciously.
Yes, yes. And what, I mean, you know, what a great thing to do, right? Instead of trying to fit into something that does not fit and constantly struggling, you are not going to shift the organization to fit you.
That's true.
It's probably not going to happen. So can you find a better fit? But then if you've got that emotional intelligence, John, and you're saying, okay, I'm in this company and it's not a fit for these reasons, what am I learning that as I look to the next thing that's going to be important for me? How do I align more specifically with a role, with a company, with an organization and their values?
Yeah, I love that. That's so true, right? It is all about learning. It's about growing. And I believe that every day that we're learning, it's whether we're using what we're learning or not is a different story, but we're always learning something. I mean, no day is alike. And
And
I don't believe in failure. I believe that every failure is just another learning lesson.
That's right.
It's only a failure if you keep repeating it.
That's right.
Or don't learn anything from it. Now, I want to ask you, do you believe in manifestation?
Ooh, I do. I love manifestation. Yeah. What do you want to ask me about?
Yeah, because I found that. Yeah, because like, how do you handle that? Like, do you do vision boards? Do you suggest vision boards? Like, how do you manifest things to life? Because I'll tell you a little story.
Okay.
Like when I was younger, I had a list of stuff that I wanted out of life, right? I wrote it down. I put it on a piece of paper and I put it in detail of how I wanted it, what I wanted it to look like and all that. I wrote down literally 100 things by the time I was 15 and I put it in a drawer and completely forgot about it. And what ended up happening is when I was about 30 years old, I moved out of my parents' house. We sold off the house and my parents went into a home and stuff like that. And I moved out and I moved into my own place. And I was cleaning out, obviously. I found that piece of paper. I had accomplished 98 out of the 100 things. And I didn't even remember writing it until I saw it again. So that to me just was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I became intrigued with manifestation. And I believe that if you will it, it'll happen. So what was that? What does that look like for you? Like, what's your process? And
yeah, I mean, I'm an out there manifester for sure. But you know what? Number one, if you can't envision it, then you can't become it, right? You have to have a vision. And there's something else that you mentioned, you know, taking that idea and writing it down on a piece of paper. There's something so powerful about just the action of writing something down, right? You are making it tangible. And we know that it's all this process of, okay, first of all, I have to envision it. Like, what is the thing that I think I want? Why do I want it? What are the feelings that I'm going to have when I accomplish that, right? Or when I have that desired state? Because there's something in that you want in the satisfaction of getting that or arriving there. And so recognizing that. And then, you know, the older that I've gotten, the more that I realize envisioning, getting into that state of feeling that thing, putting it out there in the universe, whatever you want to say, but then not struggling. I think that's a real key thing too, right? That things are going to come into your pathway. I'm a firm believer in that. So one of the things that I used to do, and I still do, but I started this years ago, was at the beginning of every year, I would think of, okay, what are the things that I want? What is a phrase, right? Just some general thing. And years ago, I was still working at the University of Alabama. I was in this kind of like rut, if you will. I had done the thing. I had done the thing. I had done it well, but I needed other challenges. And so for that year, my kind of phrase was out of the blue opportunities. I'm just looking for out of the blue opportunities. And I just, that, so every moment that I got to think about, okay, what opportunities could just come to me out of the blue that I can take advantage of? Why did I want that? What was I looking for? Was I looking for challenge? Was I looking for, you know, excitement? Was I looking for growth? I mean, what were the reasons that I wanted those opportunities? The opportunities came to me so quickly out of the blue that I had to remind myself that I had asked for them, to not complain about them, you know, because it was like, oh my gosh, all these things. And so, every year I have this phrase. I mean, what is that? And why is it that I want that? So I could tell you very specific manifesting stories where things have, that just you would not even believe, have come together.
Yeah, absolutely. If you wouldn't mind, share one. That would be interesting.
Okay. Well, I have one, but it's not business related. So I don't know if that would work.
That's fine.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just more of a moral, like sort of support to what we're saying, right? So yeah. I believe.
Okay. So this is kind of woo-woo. I'm just putting it out there. All right. So years ago, we were living in this neighborhood. We had, you know, updated a little house, blah, blah, blah. And there was this house in the neighborhood that I was just completely drawn to, right? It's on the lake. It's overlooking this view. I'm from North Georgia, so I love a view. I love water. Live in Alabama now. You don't have a whole lot of that. And so I saw the older woman that was on the walk, and I said, oh, I love your house. I'm, you know, whatever. Out of the blue, one time, she calls me, and she says, do you want to come over for lunch? I said, sure, come over for lunch. So I did, and I saw this house. It was a 1970s house, but big, beautiful view on the lake, all of this. And John, I could not help myself but want that house. Okay. I mean, it was the thing. It was like, I see myself. I'm living that. I love it. It's all the things that I want that remind me of home. And so she sold the house, and she sold the house for way too much money. Like, we could never afford this house, right? Well, the person she sold it to bought another house and left it abandoned, left this house abandoned for 2.5 years. And I would walk in the neighborhood, and but they left everything open, the gate open, the doors open, all of it. I would walk down every day that I could and go sit on the back porch and just be like, this is my house. I don't know how this is my house, but it's my house. To the point that I drove my husband crazy. He was like, you have got to stop walking to that house, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I can't help it. It's my house. I don't know how it's going to happen. Well, I mean, one day, literally the stars aligned. And we got a phone call from a neighbor who said, come over for dinner, in the next hour and a half. There's a sign that's been put up in front of this house that a developer is going to buy it, and they're going to tear it down and put down several houses. So we show up at dinner. I'm like, what am I supposed to do about this, right? I did not know that the neighbor next door to them had wanted part of the land. We had wanted the house. We didn't know that that land came with the house. They had made the owner an offer. We had actually made the owner an offer. He had not accepted either one of our offers. So this neighbor brings us together, and she says, you want the land, you want the house. I think if you'll go in together, we can make this happen. I would have never, I mean, that just was not even on my radar. And as we're driving away out of the driveway, my husband looks at me and he was like, what did you do? What have you been doing? What? I mean, it was like, but I mean, now I live in this house, and, you know, and we've done lots of work on and all this, but it is truly, I feel like my manifestation of, I had given up the struggle. I just loved it. I just loved being in it. I loved envisioning it, but I wasn't like mad about not having it, you know, cause I think that's a thing too, right? You have to love it and kind of let it go and hope that it comes back to you. So that's my specific manifestation.
Love that. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly the way it works. Right. Like, yeah. I believe in that myself. Right. Now, the thing is, as part of manifesting things, you also have to be open to ideas and open to opportunities that'll present itself, because the way we anticipate things isn't always the way it gets delivered.
That's right. Absolutely. Once again, I mean, I would have never thought that's how this would have happened, right? And the same thing with professional. I could tell you stories of professional manifestations where I literally would write something in a book, and 2 years later, that thing happens, right? Yeah, I'm all about it. Yeah, no, I mean, I have professional examples of, you know, writing something down and then 2 years later, kind of like your note in the drawer, right? Going back and going, yeah. Oh my gosh, how did this even happen, right? But it happened. But I truly believe that we are energetic beings, that we have to kind of envision and put things out there, and hopefully it's going to kind of get matched. As you said, not always the way that we think it's going to happen. So you have to be open. You have to be open for how is it going to get delivered without a lot of resistance.
100%. 100% on that. And that's the other thing. When I write things down now, another thing, a little thing that I kind of picked up as time went by, I wasn't born with this, I kind of just learned things, is that I stopped writing goals, as an example. I stopped writing as if, I want a red Ferrari. I'm going to use a bogus example, but just say, yeah. I want a red. I started writing it as if I already had it.
Uh-huh.
We'll be driving my new red Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it, but I wrote it as if I have it. And it's sort of like, I'm going to use a card as an example again. I find that the reason I believe this stuff works is because you put your mind to it, and our minds are very resilient. What happens is you put it in the back of your head and your mind's searching for the answer and how to get it.
Yeah.
You don't know it's doing it, but it's looking for it. And it's sort of like when you go looking for a car, you want this, I want a Honda Civic, and I want it in red because there's not a lot of them. All of a sudden, one day you get that Honda Civic, you get on the road, you pull out of the dealership, and the car that almost hits you as you're getting out is another red Honda Civic. All of a sudden, they're everywhere because you weren't looking for them before. Right. So when you put it in your head, your mind is now looking for it.
That's right.
I find it fascinating. And the same thing with the, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. Not at all. I mean, that's why the joke is January 1st, everyone has a resolution. By January 21st, everyone's moved on.
Yeah.
So I believe in what I call the word of the year, right? Everyone has different.
Yeah. It's kind of like my phrase, right? What is my little phrase of the year? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I'm on the same page with you on that one. Phenomenal. So what advice would you give to someone who's sort of like in that rut? Like they're in a rut today. They don't know where to start. They don't know how to get out of the rut. They want to try something new, try something different. I mean, they have imposter syndrome, or they're afraid and they don't know where to start. What advice would you give them?
You know, I think it's okay to kind of take a step back. And what is it about where I am that is creating that kind of tension, right? And where would I like to go? I mean, just even if you don't have a super specific job or role or company or something, but just understanding that there's growth and area for growth and embracing that. You know, because I think if we're stuck in the being, feeling stuck, that is the worst place to be, right? And I think that causes so much angst, is this feeling of a lack of agency to do something. And so my biggest advice is to do something, right? Find somebody, you know, find somebody like a coach, find a course, just do something that's going to break you outside of that norm, out of that role a little bit, and your rut, and figure out, where do I have actual agency to make changes in my life? Maybe I can't make them over here, but what is a path that I can affect change in? And that's an incredibly empowering, you know, kind of perspective shift.
Absolutely. All right. I'm going to have a couple more questions before I go into what I call the lightning round.
All right.
So my second last question is going to be, how do you know you've had a successful day?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Or anybody?
Yeah. What would you consider a successful day?
Okay. You know what? I think a successful day is taking on a challenge in a professional, if it's a professional successful day, going in and really kind of giving it all that you have, just getting in there, getting dirty, giving it all you have. And so, for instance, if I know that I'm teaching a class, these are people that I don't know. I'm walking into the class at Johns Hopkins. It's, you know, they're all there for a reason. They're paying a lot of money. I definitely want to be great at what I'm doing. And so instead of being nervous about it, jump in there. Kind of get on the same wavelength as people, I think, which is an art a little bit, and make it interesting and engaging and fun for them. That's success. So at the end of the day, they've had a great time, which means that I've done my job. That's successful.
Love it. Awesome. Now, last but not least, before the lightning round, is for anyone watching this or listening to it and wants to find it, you, where would they go?
You know, I kind of live on LinkedIn. That's where I am. So feel free to connect to me. Click the little three dots. You don't just have to follow me. Click the three dots and connect. I'm also incredibly responsive. So if people message me on LinkedIn, I message back. If anyone would like a resource, like characteristics, things to do for executive presence, how to grow, just message me and I'll send you kind of a PDF that you can have. As I said, I do executive coaching, so they can reach out to me that way. And I do corporate training and custom training. So I am there. That's my spot. So LinkedIn, Alexa Chilcutt, PhD.
Perfect. I will put that in the show notes as well.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay, let's get into the lightning round with a few personal questions that are just fun. With question number one being, what is your favorite food and why?
Ooh, my favorite food. I think probably something boring like ice cream. Something you can't eat a lot of, but you'd love to be able to. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good reason.
Any flavor, right? I mean, it's just the thing you shouldn't do. So that's why it's the favorite food.
Exactly. Awesome. Favorite travel destination and why?
The Bahamas. It's Andros Island. It's a little tiny island off of Nassau. And there's a great place there that is just so low key. And I mean, that is just, to me, no great decision to make. Just being peaceful, hanging out, getting some sun, looking at the water. Awesome.
Love it. Favorite podcast and or book?
Ooh, favorite book. I tell you what, the book that I recommend to the most people is Carla Harris. She wrote, her latest book is Lead to Win. So she wrote three books. She wrote Strategize to Win, Expect to Win, and Lead to Win. Lead to Win is the newest one. It's on Amazon. She actually reads it herself on Audible, which I love. So listening to that, but incredible advice for people who are kind of moving through and up through leadership positions and how to embrace that leadership in the best, most, you know, kind of productive ways. Love that book. Easy read, super practical.
Makes sense. Love it. All right. Last but not least, if you were given unlimited amount of money, but only 48 hours to spend it, what you spend, you get to keep. What you don't spend gets taken away. What would you do?
Ooh, that is really creative. Okay. What you spend, you get to keep. Gosh, I mean, honestly, I would probably buy houses. I would buy houses in many different places, in the mountains, at the beach, in Italy, a villa. I mean, you know, right? Share it with friends, have people be able to go wherever they want to go, and I'll get to go have fun with them.
Absolutely. Love that. Alexa, I want to say thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. It was a fun conversation.
Absolutely. If you like what you saw and you want to see some more, subscribe to the link below. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the John Papaloni Show.